The stock market has finally woken up to what bonds have been saying. The big question now is how far down do we go? I'm Graham Summers, and this is Bulls, Bears, and BS. Welcome back to Bulls, Bears, and BS. I'm Graham Summers, Chief Market Strategist for Phoenix Capital Research, and today is Tuesday, September 26th, 2023. This particular broadcast is going to be a little bit more technical than usual, so you're going to have to bear with me, but I'm going to try to share some ideas and some frameworks that I've developed over the last 20 years for understanding how the markets work. If you think about it, the stock market is essentially the composite of millions of decisions made by millions of individuals, all of whom have skin in the game in the form of capital. So at any given time, the stock market is digesting billions, if not trillions, of pieces of information. However, at any given time, the stock market really only cares about one or two things, and this changes all the time. Sometimes it's the Fed, sometimes it's what the bond market is doing, sometimes it's a war, sometimes it's what a president has decided to do with the economy, and so on and so forth. And the market's always changing around this, which is why what works in one instance doesn't work in a later one. I'll give you an example from recent history. Starting with the Federal Reserve's decision to start hiking interest rates in March of 2022, the stock market started to care a great deal about what the bond market, specifically U.S. sovereign debt or treasuries, were doing. And when we talk about treasuries, we're not just talking about one bond. We're actually talking about 12 different bonds with different durations to maturity, starting from 4 weeks out to 30 years. And of all these different 12 bonds, the two-year treasury is typically the one that the Fed focuses on in terms of where rates need to go at some point. When the Fed started raising rates in March of 2022, the yield on this treasury went up dramatically, because it was anticipating that the Fed was going to have to raise rates quite a lot in order to stop inflation. And remember, we're talking about the two-year treasury. So this is essentially telling us what the bond market thinks the Fed will have to do over the next 24 months in order to accomplish its goals of ending inflation. So in March of 2022, the yield on this bond was essentially telling you where it thought interest rates would be in March of 2024. Now, starting in March of 2022, the stock market started to care a great deal about what this bond was doing. And this was the central thing that the stock market was caring about for about 6 months, from March of 2022 until October, September of 2022. During that time, the yield on the two-year treasury was rising dramatically, which meant that this bond was falling, because remember, bond yields rise when bond prices fall. And this was putting a lot of downward pressure on stocks, because the yield on the two-year treasury represents the risk-free rate of return. Now, if you can earn only 0.25% risk-free, you're going to be willing to pay a much higher multiple for stocks. And we saw this during the COVID sort of bubble, when the Fed was printing tons of money and stocks just kept going up and up. During that time, the yield on the two-year treasury was about 2.25%. And at that time, investors were willing to pay 20 to 22 times forward earnings for stocks. But when the yield on the two-year treasury rose as high as 4.5%, 4.75%, meaning you could earn that risk-free every year, then suddenly stocks weren't as attractive and investors were only willing to pay about 16 to 18 times forward earnings. So again, the key point I'm making here is that the big thing that the stock market was focusing on from March of 2022 until about October of 2022 was the rise in the yield on the two-year treasury. This stopped because the yield stopped rising and kind of entered a period of a brief downtrend that lasted from September until February of 2023. Excuse me, September of 2022 until February of 2023. And that stability in the yield actually provided relief to stocks, which is why stocks bottomed in September, October of 2022. Now we fast forward until March of 2023. Again, the yield on the two-year treasury is starting to spike. This time it's going up to 5%. Then we had a regional banking crisis, and the yield plunged from 5% to a low of 3.75%. And that plunge actually is what changed everything in our financial system. The reason for this is that when the regional banking system began to enter a crisis, the Fed and the Treasury panicked, and the Fed funneled about $400 billion into the financial system in the span of 3 weeks. It also opened up an overnight lending facility to help troubled banks. That peaked at about $300 billion in April, but it still is around $250 billion today. And the Treasury also made a kind of implicit guarantee that it would be willing to backstop deposits at banks over the $250,000 that's typically insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And from that point onward, stocks stopped caring about the yield on the two-year treasury as much, and they started to care about the fact that the Fed seemed to be willing to ease or at least backstop things. And so from that point on, we had this big divergence between treasuries and stocks. Stocks went into a kind of mini bubble where they just went up and up and up, fueled by investors believing the Fed had backstopped the system again and was going to abandon its hopes of ending inflation, or the theory that the Fed might implement some kind of pause or even look to start easing conditions at some point in the future. It also was caused by the fact that we had this artificial intelligence technology coming around, which few people seemed to understand, but everyone was excited about, much like the internet, much like cryptocurrencies and so on in the last couple decades. So we had this time in which stocks stopped caring about bonds and switched over to caring about the fact that it seemed like the Fed was back to considering easing monetary policy and the idea that there was this new technology, artificial intelligence, that was going to change how everything works in the economy. During this time, starting in March of 2023, yields have slowly started creeping back up again. And this has caused quite a degree of sort of bafflement by people who follow these correlations, because they're saying, well, wait a minute. If the yield on the two-year treasury got up to about 5% and that triggered a regional banking crisis in March of 2023, why is it that that same yield got up to almost 5% in June, July of 2023, but there was no crisis and stocks just kept going up? That makes no sense. But again, that returns to my first point I was making to you, which is that the stock market only cares about one or two things at any given time, and that changes all the time. And during, say, March of 2023 until about late July, early August of 2023, the stock market wasn't really caring too much about what treasuries were doing. It was focusing on this idea that the Fed was backstopping the system and artificial intelligence. Which brings us to today. The yield on the two-year treasury has just broken above 5% again, and stocks are starting to finally care about this again. Now, it's a little confusing because the yield has been around this level and actually vacillating back and forth between 5% and 4.75%. for about 3 months now, but stocks only started to care about it recently. And the question is why? The reason stocks started to care about this is because the Fed released its updated dot plot projection for where it sees rates next year. The Fed only does this four times a year at the end of every quarter. The last time it did this was in June. And at that time, the Fed was forecasting that rates would be around 4.5% to 4% at the end of 2024. Now, at that time, rates were already around 5%. So this was essentially the Fed saying, we think we're going to make anywhere from 2 to maybe 4 rate cuts in the next 12 months. We fast forward to today, and last week, the Fed updated its dot plot projection because this was the final week of September in which the Fed was meeting. And what we saw was the Fed had dramatically adjusted its dot plot projection to saying that it believed that rates would probably be around 5 to 5.25% next year. Now, remember, now rates are now at 5.5% currently because the Fed raised them over the summer. So what the Fed did was, in June, it was saying anywhere from 2 to 4 rate cuts were going to be baked in sometime in 2024. It's now saying tops 1, maybe 2 rate cuts next year. This is the dreaded higher for longer narrative that we've seen. And it's this idea that the Fed is going to have to raise rates to a very high level, but it's not going to suddenly reverse and start easing. It's actually going to have to keep rates at that level for a very prolonged period. So think about it this way. In June, the Fed was saying, we think we're going to start easing in 2024 at some point, and we're going to probably cut rates 2 to 4 times. So basically, it's this idea of almost like a U-turn. The Fed gets rates where they want to be, and then within the next 12 months, it's cutting 2 or 4 times. Fast forward to September, the Fed's now saying, we're close to where we want to be, but we're probably going to cut rates at the most 2 times next year. That's quite a dramatic change. And the entire financial system adjusted, and it's what caused the stock market to start paying attention to what was happening in bonds, namely that yields had gone to new highs, were at the highs for the 2-year U.S. Treasury, and were at new highs in the 10-year and later in terms of duration. Now, this was a big deal, because what it means is that the risk-free rate of return for the financial system is going to stay high for a longer period of time, which means stocks are less attractive on a relative basis. Because of this mini bubble we had due to the AI sort of craze and the idea that the Fed was going to, you know, do a quick U-turn in terms of monetary policy, stocks were actually trading at 19 times forward earnings. That's a very, very rich valuation when you consider that you can earn 5% risk-free from the U.S. Treasury, the 2-year U.S. Treasury, or from money market accounts. So suddenly the stock market wakes up to what the Fed announced with its dot plots, and that's why stocks took it on the chin and started to fall. It's also why stocks are starting to care about where bonds are what bonds are doing, and it's why we're in this risk-off cycle. Actually, the risk-off move started at the end of July. That's when all the major indices peaked. But it's the reason why stocks are suddenly just dropping, and we're seeing, you know, very orderly selling, nothing like a panic, but a kind of gradual downtrend, is because the stock market started caring about bonds again due to the Fed updating where it projects rates are going to be this time next year. So again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, this was going to be a bit more technical than usual, but I'm glad you stuck with me. So the big question now is what happens? Well, if we look at some of the metrics that typically lead stocks, they're suggesting that we're going to see some kind of drop down to 4,200 to 4,300 on the S&P 500. Now, going into this, stocks had peaked around 4,500 on the S&P 500. So we're looking at about something close to a 7 to 10% drop in value. That would be very run-of-the-mill correction for a typical bull run or bull market. And in fact, stocks could easily drop 7 to 10% peak to trough, and it wouldn't really negate the bull market. It would just represent the stock market dropping to test its 200-day moving average. As I'm recording this now, the 200-day moving average for the S&P 500 is about 4,200. So peak to trough, you'd see a drop from 4,600 to 4,200. Again, that'd be a 10% correction. As long as the stock market held its 200-day moving average, the uptrend would be in place. We would have this kind of idea that an intermediate long-term trend is upwards, and stocks were simply taking it on the chin a bit to kind of wash out the hot money or the momentum or the people who came in late and bought at prices that aren't really that attractive. So that's currently what's happening for stocks. It's why stocks are suddenly dropping after showing such resilience for weeks. And it also helps to explain why the markets can be so confusing sometimes, because again, you know, the fact that something is a concern for the stock market at one point doesn't mean it's going to be a concern for stocks at another point. And we saw this with the yield on the 2-year treasury hitting 5%. Again, that's what caused the regional banking system to start to implode in March of 2023. And it's something that stocks stopped caring about for a number of months, but now they're caring about again. So it's a very confusing thing, but that's just how the markets are. Again, stocks typically only focus on one or two things at any given time, and those one or two things change, and the fact that something previously was a big concern for stocks at one point doesn't mean it's going to be for them at a second point. So again, my view of the market is it appears we're in an intermediate long or to long-term uptrend for stocks. We're currently seeing a 7 to 10% correction in stocks. This is totally run-of-the-mill kind of thing for what you see in bull runs or bull markets. The key levels to watch is somewhere in the 42 to 4300 for the S&P 500. The stock market needs to hold there and not break down aggressively. because that would then indicate that this is not just a run-of-the-mill correction. It would indicate that it's the beginning of something worse. So that's what I'm watching for stocks. This was expected. I've been warning clients about it for several weeks now. It's finally happening. Outside of stocks, it looks as though oil's reaching some kind of near-term peak. As I'm recording this, oil's around $90 a barrel. I believe the high is going to be about $93 a barrel. I'd be very shocked to see oil going much higher than that. At an absolute top, I would expect maybe $95 a barrel. But oil is extremely overbought on many metrics. Oil is about 10% above its 50-day moving average. Anytime oil's gotten to that level in the past, say, 6 months, it's usually marked some kind of top. So again, I think oil's topping here to some degree. I'm not saying that its run is over. It's just simply like stocks do for some sort of correction to wash out some of the hot money. Moreover, oil is going to be putting pressure on inflation because, remember, as I've recorded in previous broadcasts, energy is the only portion of the consumer price index that's actually been negative year over year. And we've now entered a period in which that cycle is ending and oil is going to start being flat or up year over year, and that's going to have a negative effect on the consumer price index. That's going to have a positive effect on the consumer price index, pushing it higher, which means inflation is going to start recording higher levels. That's again going to make the Fed worried, and it's going to put more pressure on this higher for longer narrative that I was talking about earlier. The other thing I'm watching is the US dollar. It's been on a major tear. It's been up now 10 weeks in a row, which is definitely a major development. As I'm recording this, the dollar is now at levels far exceeding where it usually gets to its 50-day moving average and its 200-day moving average. I think we're probably seeing some kind of peak forming here. The dollar index is around 106. I would be very surprised to see it go higher than 108 and stay there. It's very overbought, and you usually don't see these kinds of things happening before something starts to break. So again, that's something that's a concern that could make this risk-off move in stocks get even uglier. Lastly, our precious metals. Gold has actually been doing quite well given what's going on in the dollar and treasuries. Not many people talk about this, but the formula to get a really big run in gold is you want to see bonds, particularly bonds in real terms, not doing that well, and you want to see the US dollar weak. Instead, we've got bond yields rising, and we've got the US dollar rallying hard. This kind of setup would actually be very, very negative for gold and should be pushing gold to big lows, but instead, gold's actually handling it quite well. It hit a peak of about $2,075 per ounce early this year, and it's currently around $1,925 per ounce. So it really hasn't fallen that much. It hasn't even fallen 10%, which is pretty remarkable for a very volatile asset class when you particularly consider the fact that both yields in treasuries and the US dollar haven't been conducive to gold forming or performing well. So I'm watching gold. It's very range bound. I don't see anything that's really that exciting. The only thing I'm saying is that on a relative basis, it's holding up quite well given the macro environment. And this has me wondering if it's actually forming what you'd consider a kind of bull flag, which is when an asset class rallies a lot and then sort of consolidates in a downward formation before blowing out to new highs. So that's something I'm watching for gold. If we do get a breakout, I don't think it's going to come anytime too soon. We're talking several weeks, if not months from now, but it's something that I'm sort of paying attention to. So all in all, that's everything I've got for you this week. We've got stocks going into risk off. We've got yields indicating that the Fed's going to have to be higher for much longer. The dollar's quite strong, and gold's holding up relatively well given everything. I don't think it's a time to be aggressively buying stocks just yet. I think they have a little bit more room to go to the downside. But I don't think we're going to get a crash, and I certainly don't see any signs of major panic happening right here and now. If anything, we're seeing in volatility that there's the opening to stocks having a kind of plunge in the next 2 to 3 weeks, which would mark some sort of intermediate term low and would be the time to buy. I'm Graham Summers, and this is Bulls, Bears, and BS.